In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the great joys in my previous parish was opening up the church in the morning. From the front door you look out across the sea and the islands and the hills beyond. Admittedly, sometimes, and especially this time of the year, I would be opening the door in the teeth of gale force winds and rain coming like that. But it was usually an impressive sight to start off the morning. And then going into church to say my prayers, and there was an atmosphere. It was as if all those prayers of so many people over the years had soaked into the very stones of the building. God is here. For me, it will always be what is known in the Celtic tradition as a thin place. That is a place where you feel the barrier, the veil between God and us is very thin, and you become aware of the glory shining through. In the Bible, mountaintops are often thin places. On Mount Sinai, Moses saw the glory of God and his face shone, as did the face and clothes of Jesus on the mountain of Transfiguration. He was filled with the dazzling splendor of God's presence. God is here. That was Moses' experience, and also that of the disciples, James and John and Peter. They saw God made visible in Jesus. And to put the matter beyond all possible doubt, they heard the voice saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved." A thin place indeed. But why did Jesus take them there at that precise moment in his earthly ministry? What does it mean for them and for us? To go back to the Old Testament, to our reading from Exodus chapter 24. Moses was on the mountaintop for 6 days, and on the seventh, the Lord appeared. In Matthew's Gospel, there is a gap of 6 days between the end of chapter 16 and the beginning of chapter 17, when Jesus takes this journey up the mountain. We're also told in Exodus chapter 24, verse 18, that Moses was on the mountaintop for a total of 40 days and 40 nights. 3 days from now, it will be Ash Wednesday, the start of the 40-day season of Lent, commemorating Jesus' 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, but also the 40 years that Moses and the children of Israel spent wandering in the desert before they reached the promised land. Wandering in the desert, often hungry and short of food. The Old Testament and the Gospel events are meant to be clearly linked. We are meant to join them up. The one sort of casting light on the other. We hear the story of these mountaintop events now, just before Ash Wednesday, because they will equip us for our journey into Lent. Not only do they give us a preview of the glory of Easter with all that light shining around, but they also give us an assurance that God is here with us, even in the desert times of our lives, when we seem lost and our spiritual resources are running low. God is here. In actual fact, if you look back at chapter 16 in Matthew's Gospel, you will see that that chapter closes with Jesus teaching his disciples about suffering. Verse 22 says, "He began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things." And Peter objects, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus goes on to teach them that suffering and discipleship cannot be separated. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Follow me means up the mountain to glory, but also to Jerusalem and the cross. The Jesus who is revealed as God's Son on the mountaintop is the same Jesus whom the centurion proclaimed the Son of God when he was on the cross. And we can pull these strands together. God is here. That is the experience of Moses, of Peter and James and John. It can also be our experience as we sense these thin places. The knowledge that God is with us, gained from these thin place experiences, nourishes us and sustains us when it feels like we are in the desert, lost and hungry. We learn too that God is here in times of suffering, when we feel the weight of our own cross bearing down upon us. In fact, if we remember the words of the voice from heaven, "This is my Son, listen to him," then we should expect to see God's glory revealed in suffering. If we listen, that is, like disciples who listen to their master in order to learn his lesson and to make it part of their living. If we listen, then in times of suffering, our response is not so much, "Where is God in all of this?" but our response is to say with confidence and prayerfully, "Lord, I know you are here in this with me. Help me to see you." Amen.